Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Are you all blessed?
Yes. And you?
I am. Amen. I'm blessed when I come to God's house. Amen.
Amen.
I'm blessed when I spend time with God.
Amen.
Well, God is good. Last week, this is what I had on my heart, and then, you know, everything just went in a completely different direction, but I'm still going to speak about what God put in my heart last week. I'm going to read to you firstly from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and I'm starting from verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Okay. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, many will depart or abandon their faith. Okay. This is more serious than what it sounds because I want you to take very good note. This is speaking to believers, not unbelievers. He says the Spirit, capital S. In other words, the Holy Spirit has given a prophecy. And you know, when God gives a prophecy, it will come to pass. Am I right? And we must be very careful that we are not the ones that fulfill this prophecy. Because I can tell you, we are living in the age, we are living in the era, we are living in the time when we are seeing every day this prophecy come to pass. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon their faith. Now, in order for you to abandon your faith, you first have to have what? You can't abandon something that you didn't have. So here's what we're talking about. The Bible says that there are a people on the planet right now. There are people sitting in churches right now that have abandoned their faith. They have turned their back on the Holy Spirit of God. They have turned their back on the kingdom of God. Now, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter days, some will abandon the faith. Now, how are they going to abandon the faith? When we think of somebody abandoning the faith, we have images of people that curse God, people that stop going to church, people that go to witch doctors and fortune tellers, and suddenly they're into other religions. Now they're in the new age. Now they're into positive thinking, etc., etc. But I want you to notice that that's not what this scripture says. And this is where this becomes very, very dangerous. And this is where you have to be very clever and wake up in the time that we're living in. Because the abandonment of the faith is not going to happen out there in the world. It's going to happen in the church. And this is a very, very, very serious thing because it is happening all the time. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, many will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, this is where it becomes phenomenally scary because it is in the church that the faith will be abandoned, and it is in the church that we are going to find what the Bible calls deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, God forgive me, but you would think that when you go to church, when you go to the house of God, you are going to receive the Word of God, which is going to bring life to your spirit, which is going to change, transform, renew, heal, sort out, whatever the case might be. But if we are not careful, and if we do not know what the Word of God teaches, then the chances are that one can get involved in a movement that has nothing to do with God, even though God is professed. I want to remind you of something that the Apostle James said. He said, "You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble." You know, just because somebody mentions God makes them no better than the average demon, because demons also mention God. Just because somebody says they believe in God makes them no better than the average demon, because the average demon also believes in God. But demons will not bless you. Demons will curse you. Now, here's the scary thing. We are living in a time where there are apparently a great amount of churches which have been infiltrated by the enemy, where the enemy is the one preaching, not the man, not the Spirit of God. And where did this warning come from? This is not a warning that somebody made up. This, he points it out to us. He says, the Spirit clearly says. I think he wants us to understand this is not even him saying this. The Holy Spirit revealed this to him. How did he get this revelation? Only God knows. But he was very certain of this. He says, the Holy Spirit says, the further we go into the end of the age, the more and more deception is going to lead and govern the church. And you know what? With all due respect, I have to say to you that we see that all the time, because it is in the church that people do the stupidest things. But no, don't worry, I'm okay. I believe in God. I'm a child of God. You know, one of the things that bother me, I'm just going to put this out there, is the grace movement. Because the grace movement tends to tell people, don't worry, you mess around, you do this, you do that, but everything is okay because the grace of God is upon your life and you're going to be fine. And I don't see that. I don't see how God operates that way. You know, the Israelites, when they were in the desert and they messed up, there was no grace for them. They got a hiding and many of them perished in the desert. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it back then, he's going to do it now. You know, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked, for as a man sows, so a man will also reap. Now, you know what? Grace doesn't supersede that. Grace has to fit in with that. It is the grace of God that saves me. It is the grace of God that gives me the opportunity to deal with the rubbish in my life. But the fact of the matter is, there are movements in the church that tells us you don't have to deal with nothing because you're a child of God. Everything has been washed away. You're fine. Just go on with your life. And that's wrong. That is not right. Now, I'm going to come back to the scripture. I want to show you another scripture. Once again, as Timothy speaking, comes from the book of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, he says the following. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Now, he wants us to understand exactly what this is about. He says, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. He says, in the face of God, I am giving you this charge. He wants us to understand how important what he's going to say now is. He says, I do this standing in front of God, representing his kingdom. I think that was the most powerful way that he could think of, or that the Spirit of God revealed to him, to give this instruction for us to understand how important this is. Now, listen to what he says. Preach the word. I first want to stop there. You know, there was a time I used to listen to TBN a lot. And then there came a time when my spirit began to clash with a lot of the things that was preached there. Because you know what? There were many times when I did not hear the word of God preached. I heard motivational speaking. I heard people being hyped up. But I did not necessarily hear the word. And some of the things that was preached from the word just made my skin crawl, because the way that it was brought across was kokai. It was stupid. Here's the thing. When you go to church, what must you hear? The Bible makes it very clear. The Spirit of God is speaking, and he says, I'm giving you this charge in the face of God. When you get together, preach the word. You know what? There's a whole bunch of nice things that I can share with you today. But the only thing that's going to change your life, the only thing that's going to properly impact your life, the only thing that has the power to set you free, because the Bible says the truth will set you free, is the word. It's not my opinion. It's not some newfangled doctrine. It is the word. He says the first thing that you have to do, preach the word, and then listen to what he says. He says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. In other words, what he says is, it doesn't matter whether the people think they're ready for it or they're not ready for it. You go ahead and you preach the word. Because one day, God will hold you accountable if you do not preach the word. Sometimes ministers or pastors do not want to preach the word. Because here's the thing with the word. The word and the world do not mix. The word and the flesh do not mix. There's a lot of things in the word that says no when the flesh says yes. There's a lot of things in the word that says no when the world says why not. And you know, when you start stepping on people's toes, you start making enemies. I'm not planning to be your enemy, but I want you to understand something. I would rather have you upset with me than God upset with me. Because I have to follow what the Word of God says. So I have to give you the Word of God in season. In other words, when you feel like it, and out of season, when you don't feel like it. It's nice to get a nice word. But if I only give you nice words, I'm only giving you the one half of the coin. And if the coin isn't stamped on both sides, it's not a legitimate coin. Therefore, we have to get the nice things. But there are times when we have to get the other side too. We have to hear the things that we might not have wanted to hear. But in the kingdom of God, that's just the way it is. Be prepared. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And now listen to what he says. How should the word of God be used? He says, number one, correct. Did you hear that? Right now, as we are here, there are probably a couple of things and areas in our life where we've gone off the path. What must happen? Correction must happen. In other words, to correct somebody, you have to tell them, hey, you're wrong. Can I tell you something? People don't like to be told that they are wrong. They immediately get upset. They get their noses bent out of shape. They get all fired up, charged, and they want to fight. Here's the thing. The one you should be fighting with is not the one giving the message, because it's like we sometimes say, don't shoot the messenger. If you're upset like that, you must check your heart, because your anger is actually at God. And I don't want to be funny, but I don't think you should get into that battle. I think you should deal with your heart, and I think you should sort yourself out, because if God wants to correct something, it's because he loves you, he cares for you, and he knows what is going to happen if you stay on that road. So here's the thing. In order to be a good minister of the Word of God, you must not be afraid to preach a message of correction. Even if the entire congregation thinks that that's rubbish or nonsense, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way he felt about sin all those years ago is the same way he feels about sin today. Hello? The way he felt about the devil all those years ago is still the same he felt about the devil today. But now, here's where we are. You know, sometimes we have this thing, oh, we are enlightened. You know what? It's not that bad. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I'll tell you what the worst is that can happen. It's called hell. If you don't deal with your rubbish down here, you're going to have to deal with it down there. And you don't want to deal with it down there. You know, here's the thing. Your life is important to God. And therefore, he wants you to have the knowledge. He wants you to understand. If you hear the truth and you still reject the truth, then you mustn't be surprised when you wake up your eyes and you're not where you thought you were going to be. Because that's going to happen to a lot of people. But the fact of the matter is, if I don't give you that knowledge, I'm the one that's going to stand before God one day. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about people who minister the word of God. Scripture says we must not all endeavor to be ministers. We must not all strive to become ministers, because we will be more severely judged. Now, do you know how that works? That is when I know something is wrong, but I'm like, I don't want to touch there. I don't want to cause a problem. Then I bring judgment upon myself, because I am allowing you to enter into judgment because of the things you've done, but I could have stopped it or given you at least the benefit of understanding that that is wrong. But because I was intimidated by you, I refused to do something about it. And now I'm bringing problems into my own life. The first thing that he says, when it comes to the word of God, he says, be prepared in season and out of season, correct. In other words, there's going to be many times when you have to say to somebody, listen, yeah, what you are doing is wrong. I'll never forget, many years ago, I had this woman. She made a real pest of herself. I say this respectfully, but it's just the way it was. This woman phoned me like 1,000 times. She wants to see me. She wants to see me. And I have a busy life. I can't just, you know, you can't just phone me and see me tomorrow. I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. I don't think it works like that in anybody's life. But then you get these people that's like, they feel it's their right and it's your obligation because you work for God. Now you have to jump when they have a problem. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. And eventually I said to the woman, okay, this is the date. Come and see me that time. She drove far. She drove from Bloemfontein to come and see me. But I sat and I listened to what she was going through. And here's the thing. The moment she began to explain to me what was going on, I knew that she is simply paying for what she is doing. And what does the Word of God say? Correct. And I said to her, ma'am, you've come a long way to come and see me, but I want you to understand something. Today God wants me to tell you that you are wrong. You know, that woman looked at me. If eyes could kill, I'm telling you now, my funeral would have been a long time ago. She jumped up. She told me that I am not a man of God, that the Spirit of God is not in my life. How dare I tell her that she is the problem? There was a problem between her and her husband. But the fact of the matter is, she was wrong. Totally wrong. She was a Jezebel. And it was probably the Jezebel spirit that spoke to me when she jumped up like that. But you know what? She tried to march out of my life, but then my house, but then she forgot exactly how to go. So she ended up marching into my bedroom. I walked behind this woman. I thought, what now? She turned around. She nearly steamrolled me out of the way. She could not get into her car quick enough. Wheel spun out of my yard. But you know what? I just said, good riddance. Because here's the thing. When you wrong, you wrong. And it doesn't matter how you want to see things. Listen to me carefully. I want you to press record. It's not how you see it. It's how God sees it. And that's where a lot of people want to argue and fight. It's, oh, I don't see it that way. Please. You know what? If I could have a penny for every time somebody says to me, oh, I don't see it that way, I would be filthy, stinking rich. But I want to tell you something. It's got nothing to do with your opinion. It's God's word. There are two opinions that matter much more than yours. What does God say and what does the devil say? Because those two have much more power in your life than what you do. And that's what happens many times. People want to get upset and they get all offended because they see it this way. And then we have to tell them, but you're wrong. The first thing he says we must do is we have to correct. The second one, now this is even worse. Rebuke. Did you hear that? Sometimes, when the Word of God comes out, the Word of God has to rebuke. Listen to me. When you've already corrected somebody and they don't want to deal with their stuff, there is going to have to be a rebuke. Now, to be corrected is like up here in the problem category. To be rebuked is like way up there. And the thing is, we need to deal with ourselves, we need to deal with our hearts before we get to the place that we get rebuked. I shared it a while ago. It's happened to me a couple of times in ministry that God rebuked me. And I want to tell you something, that was not a nice place to be. I had to lick my wounds for a couple of days after it happened to me. I got a hiding because God felt that I was out of line. I allowed things to happen that God said you should have known better. And I have been present when one or two other people have been rebuked. Now, I want to say something about your character. The way you handle a rebuke from God says a lot about the type of person that you are. And I can tell you, I have seen a number of reactions to the rebuke of God. I have seen people after the rebuke humble themselves and sort their rubbish out. I have also seen other people like, what kind of nonsense is this? Don't tell me God works this way. The Word of God says He does. Sometimes God rebukes. If you push and push and push, you push the button, sometimes there's an explosion. There's only one way to react to rebuke. check yourself, sort your heart, humble yourself before God, and God will once again lift you up. I have seen a number of people receive a rebuke that then turned their back on God. Oh, God doesn't do this. Oh, how is that possible? My friend, go read your Bible. God did not spare Moses when Moses went out of line. God did not spare Samson when Samson went out of line. God did not spare David when David went out of line. In fact, those of you, I have a sermon that I preached once, or I've preached it more than once, but it was on Moses. It was when Moses was on his way, and the next thing the Bible says, the angel of the Lord was there to kill him. Now, how scary is that? The angel of death came for him. Do you want to know why? Because he was supposed to circumcise his children. He circumcised his firstborn. But he didn't want to circumcise his secondborn. And do you know why? Because his wife had a problem with circumcision. He had more fear for his wife than what he had for God. So he decided, you know what? I did the first one, that's enough. We won't do the second one. But he was a man of God. And in the position that he held in the kingdom of God, there was no place for disobedience. Remember, leadership will be more severely, more harshly judged. And the next thing you know, the Spirit of God, the angel of death, was there to take his life. And his wife eventually figured out what was going on, and she circumcised the boy. And because of what was done, his life was spared. Now here's the thing. God did not spare him. God did not spare any of his servants in the Bible. But now suddenly we've become a society that believes that God doesn't care anymore about these things. I'm sorry, we're wrong. If you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, eventually you are going to push the boundary just way too far, and you're going to be in that minefield and something is going to explode. The first thing the Word of God wants to do is to correct us. And you have to understand something. Nobody is born a Christian. We all come from the world. And in the world, we've picked up certain habits. Habits that have to be corrected. There is a certain way we do things in the kingdom, and there is another way that the world handles situations. When you say, I am a child of God, let's just quickly check. How many children of God have we got here today? Here's your code of conduct. The problem is, most of us don't even know the code of conduct. We just think, oh, you know, I'll just carry on regardless and everything will be okay. No. I want to remind you that the first message that Jesus ever preached was repent and believe. What does the word repent mean? The word repent means change. In other words, as you are sitting there and as I am standing here, there's probably a number of areas in our life that God wants to see change. You can fight against it. You can get upset about it. But then correction is going to turn into rebuke. And when rebuke comes, you're going to be very sorry for yourself. But I don't think God's going to care. Because he warns us. The word of God has to sometimes bring a rebuke. And then he says, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. The good news is, it's not all about correction. It's not all about rebuke. There is a place for encouragement. But you see, we also cannot become a church that is always giving you the type of sermon that makes you feel good. Because there's a time for correction. There's a time for rebuke. And one of the problems that we are faced with, and this is a huge problem, everybody wants to preach sermons that encourage people or make people feel good. How must I make you feel good if you clearly have a lot of issues and if you are busy going deeper and deeper and deeper into the pit? Ach, don't worry, it's dark in there, but it's going to be okay. No, I have to help you to get out of there. And it was if you're in there because of what is in your heart and the way you treat people and the way you live your life, then something has to change for you to come up and to come out. I can't encourage you down in the pit. The Word of God is necessary in everybody's life. You might not always like the way the Word of God comes across, but how you are going to respond to that Word will determine where your life is going to go. And I want to remind you of something. Here's my Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Every time you reject the Word, you reject God. Tell me, how blessed are you really going to be? You know, and it's like when people say to me, I don't see it like that. Then apparently now you don't see God. If you don't want to see it that way, it means you've moved your face away. In the process, what are you doing? You're turning your back on God. Don't tell me you don't see it that way. If it's black on white, accept it. If it tells you you're wrong, repent. Deal with it. Because that's the only way to please God. Amen? Amen? That's the only way to please God. Then he says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now here's a word to me. I have to be patient with you. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes some people really try my patience sometimes. But by the grace of God, I do believe God has given me quite a bit of patience. Is it you? Wow, I would never have guessed. No, the fact of the matter is, and this is something that I want you to understand, in the kingdom of God, we do not give up on people because people are important. We do not give up on people. We try. You know, people fall. What do? We go, we pick them up. And I want to say something to you. If you don't have patience, don't become a minister, because there's no place for you. We do need to have patience. We do need to walk a road with people. And the patience, I don't think, comes from us. It comes from the Spirit of God working in us to help people. But now listen to what he says here. With great patience and careful instruction. You know, the Word of God is there to instruct us on how to live our life. And, you know, maybe somebody's listening to this on the internet or looking at one of the videos here. And I want to say something to you. If you are not in a ministry or in a church where you receive good godly instruction, it's time for you to move on. You have to receive instruction. And it has to include both correction, rebuke, what was the other one? Encouragement and patience. Because all of that is necessary in the preaching of the Word. And now he says why. Listen to this. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. This is where we are now. You know, all sorts of weird, newfangled ideas is popping up. People are finding novel ways to justify what they do and how they are, etc., etc. And the Bible says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, listen to this, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Can I tell you how I quickly get a very big church going here? I begin to preach what people want to hear. And I tell you now, they will flock from everywhere. I know I can preach, and I can preach quite well. God gave me a gift. And you know what? If I just keep telling you what you want to hear, you're going to tell all your friends, oh, you must come there. Oh, every time I get such a good message there. Your life is in the pit, but you get such a good message there. You have no peace, you have no joy, but oh, I love the message. You see, that's what's the problem today. And you know, I'm not being ugly. I'm preaching the Word. This is what God's Word says. We are living in a time and we are living in a society where people, yes, how the Holy Spirit puts it, he says, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers. In other words, not one, not two, plenty. If you had to know how many, you would fall off your chair. A great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. My friend, That is a recipe for absolute disaster. And here's the thing. Whenever people are told what they want to hear, people are running the church, not God. Then nobody's going to be helped there. There will be no healing. There will be no change. There will be no transformation. There will be no deliverance. There will be no salvation. Because men are running the church. Why would a minister or a preacher or a pastor tell people what they want to hear? Well, it could be because he's intimidated by people. It could be because he understands that when people get upset, people stop giving, because that's how people are. You step on their toes, tomorrow I'm going to teach you a lesson, I don't give money anymore. Well, here's the thing. As a minister of God, my provider, or any minister's provider, is not the people. It's God. So you see, here's something I've learned over the years from God. If this person turns their back and moves on and does this and that, and there's no more finances coming from there, God finds another way. Because here's something that you have to understand. It is not the little stream that supplies, it is the dam. And that dam can push out other streams if he wants to. So when this little stream dries up, God can channel another stream to go there. I cannot be afraid of you and what you're going to do tomorrow or say tomorrow or whatever, because then I will fall into this trap, and any man of God will fall into this trap. We have to honor the word of God. We cannot be intimidated by people. We are intimidated by God. You know, the Bible says, what can a man do to me? What can you do to me? You can talk rubbish behind my back. You can belittle me. You can do this. You can do that. You can withhold finances. Whatever. But in the end, God is my provider. And you know what? My eternity depends not on you. It depends on him. So I have to honor him and I have to serve him. Now he says this. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. In other words, men will rebel against sound doctrine. When you say to them, the word of God says this, they'll be like, ah, you stupid. You're an idiot. Ah, you haven't moved on with the times. There's no times to move on with. The truth stays the truth. It withstands the test of time. And you know, many times I have seen this spirit that the Bible talks about rise up in people. When you tell them what the Bible says about something, they want to fight. It says, yeah, they will not accept sound doctrine. And when he says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Do you hear that? When does this happen? When you start listening to doctrines of demons. And again, here's the shocking thing. Where are you going to find the doctrines of demons? You know, I suppose when you read this the first time, you're thinking to yourself, oh, he must be talking about some cult. He must be talking about some weird sect. He must be talking about some witch doctor somewhere. No, he's talking about pastors, priests, dominies, ministers. What else can I call them? So-called evangelists, missionaries even. He's talking about, and I'm not cursing men of God. I'm stating to you what the word of God says. The days we live in are dangerous. And you have to be really, really careful, because it is not that difficult to fall into a trap. And if you are in the wrong place, I want to tell you something. The enemy will have power over your life and he will bring a lot of destruction. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, speaking to me, and to some extent speaking to you, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Here's something that you have to understand. When you start serving God, like me, when you walk a road and you begin to minister the word of God, there is going to be hardship. It's not going to be easy. Why? Because I'm in the world, but no longer of the world. And the God of this world doesn't like what I do. And now and then he's going to come against me. He will come against me through people. He will come against me through organizations. He will come directly through demonic and satanic attack. Like what we had last week happen here in this church. That was a direct satanic attack. But the Bible says, endure the hardships. In other words, I am being warned. Don't come to God and say, oh, this is too difficult. I wanna back out. You accepted the call? Accept what comes with the call. Endure. Keep going. Keep going. He says, endure the hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work. You see, here's the thing. In my life, whether it's good or bad, God expects me to work. Sometimes I go through difficult times, but when I come and stand in front, yeah, I'm doing it for Him. Not for you, not for myself, for Him. I still have to do my part. The hardship is part of life. And I want to tell you something, I've accepted that. It doesn't mean that I'm always happy when I go through problems, trials, or tribulations. Just like everybody else, sometimes I mumble and I groan, but I'm not going to let it affect the way I minister to people. Because you deserve better than that. Imagine if I'm all grumpy and full of attitude and like stuff all of you, stuff this, what, you know. I can't afford to do that. The Word of God warns me. There's going to be difficult days. You still do what God called you to do. You don't back down. You keep going. Do you know why? Because that's how we conquer the devil. You know, the devil can only do so much. Tomorrow, the day after, if you keep going, his plans begin to fall apart because God honors perseverance. God always blesses perseverance. Now let's turn it around into your life. In my case, I have to come here and preach. In your case, you have to come here and listen. How many times do we have this thing? Oh, you know, it's too many problems. I'm not going to church. You think you're teaching God a lesson? No, you're teaching yourself one. Sometimes we like that. It's like, oh, it's too many. God hasn't been good to me. He hasn't supplied. He hasn't done this. There's too many issues. I'm staying at home. I don't want to go to church anymore. Endure. Do you hear that? Endure. Because you never know. Yes, that's what I said. I'm not coming here for you. You're not coming here for me. We're both coming here for God. And you see, when we begin to apply what the Word of God says, yeah, we are going to be blessed. You're going to have bad days. You know, I was listening to Mr. Wilson. Apparently, last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, God decided to baptize Dino. Am I right, Dino? Where is he? Were you baptized last night? Do you know how God, you know, God has a good sense of humor. Do you know how God baptized him? The geezer broke on top of his head. And the whole ceiling collapsed. This happened 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, you know what? The devil would love for them to say, oh, you know what? Auntie, give me 5. There we go. Praise God. Who said you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Amen. You see, they could have very easily said, oh, you know what? Oh, man, look at all these problems. Oh, no, there's no way we could go to church today. And I'm irritated and I'm angry. You came. Amen. Guess what? God will bless you for that.
And the devil has to pay me a new ceiling.
There we go. He's going to. He's going to. That's just an example that I can give because it happened today. He spoke to me earlier and he told me what happened. But that's the way our lives are. How many times have you not been in a good place and you have this thing, I don't want to go to church. That's when you really, really have to go. There's a reason why something didn't want you to go that day. Because something is about to happen. Endure. You know, the Bible says, he who endures till the end will receive the prize. I don't know about you, but I want my prize. You know, by the grace of God, I have worked hard for that prize. I don't want to fall away now. I want to keep going, and so do you. And sometimes the prize is not everlasting life. It's the breakthrough you're going to get on Sunday. It's the healing you're going to get on Tuesday, or whenever that meeting is. And you know, sometimes when that comes into you, it's like, I don't want to go, I'm upset, It's something trying to push you away from something that is about to happen. And we should not allow that. Now, let's just sum this up. We are being warned that we live in an era where there's a lot of false doctrines. There's a lot of things that's being preached from the pulpit that has nothing to do with what the Word of God says. We are being warned that there is many movements rising up that are people-pleasing ministries. And we are warned to stay away from that. We are warned as ministers not to give you what you want to hear, but to give you what God says. You are being warned that when that happens, check your heart and deal with it. Don't rebel against God.
Yes. I lost a lot of clients because I do not compromise when it comes to things of God. But I'd rather have 10 good clients that they serve the God than have 20 they are from the devil.
I agree. I do.
When the Lord blessed me that business, the Lord told me that you will be a sinner, people that will come and drink from me.
Well, what I can say about her, when she built her salon, she asked me to give her some scriptures. Do you remember that?
God gave me 7 promises.
Yes. We wrote them on a piece of paper and she put them in the foundations of that place. Did you?
Yes. But you know, Rian, I have people, they call me mad, maniac, Jesus freaky. I don't care what they call me. That is the house of God. If you're not feeling good, get out of my house.
Well, there you go. And God will bless you for that.
And God blesses me
for that. And God will bless you for that. So, let's just bring it all together. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is necessary in all its facets. You can't just accept certain parts of it, but reject other parts of it. And even though I know that you would love to have a nice, inspiring message every Sunday, when we do that, we are actually leading you astray. Because there has to be times when there is correction. There has to be times when there is rebuke. And you need all of that to become a balanced child of God. To be in the place where you experience the blessing of God. If I had to ask the question, now, how many of you would like to be blessed? Everybody would raise their hands. But if I had to say to you, this and this and this is what has to happen in your life for you to be blessed, a lot of you would be like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. Well, God knows best. God knows best. When the Word of God is preached, it must be preached in truth. The Word of God is the only thing that can properly change you. And I want you to listen to me very clearly. And maybe this is not even applicable to you, but you know, we've got people listening on the internet all the time, and we've got people that look at the videos, and the Word of God must go out. The Word of God is Christ. Every time you reject the Word of God, you reject Christ. Can it go well with you? No, it can't. It can't. So be careful. Watch out. You know, maybe you have family. And you can see that their life is actually going nowhere. I actually want to share with you something that happened. I think I might have spoken about it this week, but a week and a half ago, somebody from this congregation ended up in the emergency section of the Union Hospital in Alberton. I went there to pray with her. And while I was there in the emergency ward, I heard somebody call my name. I looked around and I didn't really recognize anybody, so I left it. And I thought maybe there's somebody else with the same name and they were calling that person. And then when I started walking out, a gentleman walks up to me. He says, Pastor Rian. I looked at the man. I've never seen him before in my life. I've never seen him at any of my meetings, so I don't know who he is. I look at him. I say, yes. Do I know you? He says, no, you don't know me, but I know you very well. I said to him, how does that work? He says, I've listened to all your CDs. I download all your sermons. I said, wow, are you serious? He says, yes, and I've seen all your videos. And he actually pointed to the aunt. He says, and I know you too. I've seen you there on the video. Anyway, to make a long story short, he says to me, can I have just a moment of your time? I said, sure, talk to me. He says to me, you know what? I have been attending a church now for many years. And you know what? I don't receive nothing from the church that I attend. He says, when I listen to your sermons, it does something to me. When I go to the church, and the church he goes to sits 6,000 people on a Sunday. He says, I never get anything from my church. He says, when are you coming to the South? I said, just hold on, brother. We're making a plan. We're coming. And you know what? That's what it's about. You know that man? He touched my heart. Here's the other thing, just for interest's sake. He's a cell leader. And he says, he unashamedly told me straight, he says, you know what I teach my people in my cell? I teach them all your sermons. He says, and the people love it. And they say to him, where you get this stuff? Well, you know what? That's what life is about. Amen. Just very, very interesting. You know, God has really blessed us with this CD ministry and with the internet and all of that. And Eddie can give us an idea of how many people have been touched. But I was sharing the other day with somebody that this was about 10 years ago. Where's Matthew? How old were you when we went to Pietersburg when you played rugby there up there? Were you 13? No, you weren't in standard 5. You were under 11. Yeah, you were 11. So that would make it 9 years ago. 9 years ago, me and my brother Pete, we take the long trek up here to Pietersburg because my son was playing rugby there in a big tournament. And we get there. There is probably a couple of thousand people there. We are. It's called the Bondeweg. It's the top probably 20 schools in the old Transvaal district all playing rugby to see who's the best school. Now, every rugby team brings supporters. Sometimes the whole school appears there. We're talking plenty of people. Me and Pete walk there, and we're busy talking. And I hear my name, Rian. I turn around, I look, I don't recognize anybody. I walk further. Again, I hear my name, Rian. I turn around. But you see, there's a lot of Rians. So they could be calling somebody else. A third time, I hear my name again. But it's like, this person must be talking to me. I turn around and I look, and there's this guy sitting on a bucky. He actually had a chair on the back of his bucky, and he was sitting on the chair, and he was looking me in the eyes. I walked up to him, I said, are you calling me? He says, yes. Are you Rian? I said, yes. He says, man, you're never going to believe this. I recognized you from your voice. I said, are you serious? He says, yes. You know what he showed me? He was also from Joburg. He was listening to one of my CDs all the way to Pietersburg. He says, I've been listening to you in the car on the way here. And then you came walking past and I said to my friend, that's the same voice. This must be the guy. I looked at him. I said, are you serious? You recognize my voice? He says, yes. And you know what? I spent about half an hour ministering to him. And God really blessed us. You know, God is good. Amen. And I give him all the glory and I give him all the praise. Did anybody learn something today? There we are. Give the Lord a big hand.